Welcome to The Second Half, an oral history project sponsored by the Women's Studies Research Center and by the Journalism Program at Brandeis University. In these oral histories, Brandeis student journalists interview women over 50, from judges to sociologists and from doctors to artists. Though each woman's story is unique, they all show a wealth of wisdom, resilience, and joy in their second half of life. In this episode, Jillian Bersofsky interviews Anne-Marie Delaney-Denisio, an artist whose duties as a teacher and mother long complicated her creative career. What does it look like to achieve that success later in life?
Playing with bright, vivid blocks of color, Anne-Marie Delaney-Denisio creates fluid and abstract paintings. One example is titled Frogland. Vibrant shades of red, blue, and green form creatures that may be frogs? Or maybe it's an arm? Or a gaping open mouth? Her paintings reflect the freedom she feels when she exercises her creative muscles. Definitions are restrictive for the 67-year-old. Ambiguity is liberating from the strictness she felt growing up in France in the 1950s and 1960s. A France that inflicted some deep cuts on her and her family.
I experienced some trauma when I was 6 years old. It was in 1962. So there was the war of independence of Algeria going on. And my parents were involved. There were a series of bombing in Paris. And my father had been arrested and in jail. And part of this group did bomb our apartment in Paris. And so we all survived, which was, so my mother was alone with three very young children. I was the oldest one.
What made you kind of come to terms with that? What was there something in your life that...
Yeah, well, I guess it's, you know, a lot of writing, you know, just writing. Writing makes you explore a lot of things. There have been, of course, a lot of healing process, you know, in more traditional ways. Like when I was younger, I underwent a Jungian psychoanalysis. And I was also miserable when I was young because I wanted to be a painter. And of course, I was kind of repeatedly told that, you know, as a young woman or being in a woman's body, you know, that there was all this Freudian theory that only men were end up with, you know, creative drive, because that was totally related to having a penis, you know. Could be only creative if you had a penis. So, you know, I wanted to be a painter. I started going to an informal artist workshop in Paris. It was the 70s, so 73, so you were supposed to express yourself. You did not need to have any formal academic training. So there was a lot of mixed message because on one hand, you know, the head of the workshop recognized that I was talented. And on the other hand, the message was, well, you should marry a painter or, you know, support a painter. I'm an artist. And of course, I was very shy and confused. And then my family moved to Toulouse. So I lost that support in Paris. Even the message was contradictory.
After losing that limited support, she became a teacher. She worked in France and Germany before finding her way to America, following a law student she had met in Germany. Though that relationship didn't work out, she met, married, and started a family with her husband. Throughout her life, she oscillated between engaging in her art and forcing away her creative abilities, for multiple reasons, some financial, others more emotional. Still, she received 3 master's degrees related to the arts.
Art history, museum study, and finally visual art, which was really the one things I wanted to do all the time, but I took a big detour. And I think it was good to get the visual art after getting the, you know, the art history and the museum study background, because, you know, it placed everything into a larger context. So, you know, first developing feminist awareness, and then being and doing this papier-mâché sculpture, which were very colorful, but at this time I was exploring patriarchal myth like Medusa, So reinterpreting all this horrible portrayal of woman with my papier-mâché sculpture. And then I started a family, and that was also, and I went back into a kind of dark and tumultuous time, because, you know, when you have an history of trauma and depression, and then you think you can handle things, and sometimes you cannot. So it was kind of giving up on art again, and it's not good. It's not really good. I get really depressed and miserable. And
So that seems to be kind of the theme in your life. That
yes.
When you suppress that artistic urge, it has bad manifestations.
With the Master in Museum Studies, it was more like the role of minority and indigenous artists. So I started with, you know, women, then, you know, minority and indigenous artists. And then eventually I decided to go for a third master, which was in visual art. And that's when I really eventually found, you know, how I wanted to paint, and what, you know, in the still in the line of abstract expressionism, but, you know, with a more contemporary view and perception of my own gender identity too. I feel like I am more freed, you know, daring to be a painter. When I was a young woman, I was constantly, and it was in this, you know, psychoanalytic, you know, time. So I guess I was, you know, people saying, well, you are not a woman, you are a man, you are a phallic woman, or whatever. And I was told that, yeah, when I was a very young person, wanted to be an artist.
Wow.
You know, and a painter and a sculptor, and, you know, so my gender identity was totally challenged.
Anne Marie continued to discover new aspects of her gender identity. She would find a supportive, fun, and creative group of people encouraging her to continue painting, which eventually brought her acceptance and recognition. She continues to paint and uses the trauma she experienced at a young age to influence her work now. And while Anne Marie identifies as a cisgender female, when she's creating something, she feels gender fluid.
At this point, I still identify as a woman, but I feel as an artist and a writer, I consider myself to be gender fluid. So I am moving from that identity as, you know, suburban life and, you know, married with two children, married to a man. I call my studio a gender fluid zone, and, you know, and when I am in very deep into my writing and my art, I just consider myself gender fluid. So it's
Do you think you've just always, like, I have identified that way?
Yes, but there was no word, you know. I had a lot of trying to conform and, you know, to conform to, you know, the heterosexual norm and so on, and I know something was off, but, you know, I could not articulate it, you know, when I was a young woman in the 70s.
In your art and in your writing, how does that translate to those final pieces?
I guess it's, you know, I play with a lot of ambiguities, and I think in my statement I say I blur the boundaries, so between gender, between human and non-human, you know, between, is it a body part, is it a plant, is it, you know, so it's, there is this kind of, I don't like to put name on things because I think it defines and narrow, but I guess it could still be identifying as some type of a queerness, you know, into, you know, the work I do.
And now, after years of stops and starts as an artist, Anne Marie, at 67, is gaining recognition for this art. She showed her painting Happiness is a Yellow Gun at the Cambridge Art Association's Emerging Artists Exhibit. The painting depicts different shades of red and one big yellow gun-shaped figure. But, in typical fashion, it remains ambiguous.
I also, you know, I have been recognized as an emerging artist pretty recently. So there are a lot of people in my head who say, yeah, I've been an artist all my life. I'm not, you know. But I am officially an emerging artist. And even got a little award from one of my... a pretty big painting, which is really in this kind of queer style where there are some body parts. I mean, it's suggestive. It's not, it's open-ended, but the juror, you know, saw all this thing. And he found me out, you know, I cannot hide anymore.
Do you like that recognition, or were you?
Yes, it scares me, but I also like it because yeah. So I guess it's becoming, you know, being older is being more confident.
Anne Marie's post 50 confidence exhibits how resilient she is. Time and time again, she was told she couldn't be an artist, or felt an obligation to be something else, like a teacher or a mother. While those roles were rewarding, they weren't a career in art. The abandonment of her art took her into dark and depressed places. As she finally embraces her art, it's clear that her work is meaningful and intentional. But her new success seems, to me, to be her true masterpiece. She shows us all how valuable following your passions can be at any age.
Thank you for listening. This project is affiliated with The Second Half, a book by photojournalist Ellen Warner and published by the Brandeis University Press in 2022. Our student journalist team includes Lauren Williams, Brenna Perlstein, and Jillian Brasovsky. Our show music is written and produced by Bethel Adakobi. Our project manager is myself, Claire Ogden, and our consulting producers are Neil Swidey and Iris Adler. We would like to include a special thank you to Stephanie Lawrence, Harleen Singh, and Kristen Mullen, the WSRC team. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.